Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
First, I was a Catholic girl. Loved the mass. I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed. I really felt that I was blessed. Plus, I loved my uniform. So did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age. And all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big tie.
Hello and welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. This is WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM, live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is January 2nd, 2019. It's a Wednesday at 7 o'clock. So if that's not the date and time you're listening, then you're probably listening to a rebroadcast or a podcast of the show. I'm Doubter 5, and with us in the studio today we have Eric. Say hey, Eric.
Hey.
Have you ever come up with a DJ name?
No.
No. Okay, call you Video Man or something like that. Anyway, you do videos for a living, I understand. Are you still doing that?
I used to, not anymore.
Okay. Excuse me. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a call-in, hour-long talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, well, that's just not the case. There are several atheist, free-thinking, and rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville. And we'll be telling you how you can connect with them right after the mid-show break. And did you know that we have a atheist call-in television show broadcasting here in Knoxville? And has been broadcasting for over 8 years now. Going on 9, I reckon.
Wow.
Yeah. You knew that. You've been on the show.
Yes.
Yep. And that is actually going on right now. It starts at 6:30 and goes to 7:30 on Comcast Channel 12. And that's also on, let me see what the other channel is. Charter Channel 192. So Comcast Channel 12 or Charter 192, you can switch over there right now and see it, but we hope you won't, unless you DVR it. And you'll stay here and listen to our show instead. Anyway, we'll tell you more about that after the show break in the middle. And let's see what else we got. Yes, in spite of what Steve Martin would have you think, there are an awful lot of atheist songs. And we'll be playing at least one of them on the show tonight. And generally, we put them in the rotation, so you'll be hearing them on this station at any particular time. Excuse me. So, Eric, you brought a topic with you tonight. You want to introduce the topic and get us going on that?
Sure. Why did Steve Martin say that there weren't any atheist songs?
Song? He's got a song. It's a kind of a bluegrass song. You know, he does banjo He's started his own band, and it's a bluegrass band, and he sings a song called "Atheists Ain't Got No Songs."
I'll have to check that one out.
Oh yeah, and I recommend that everybody in the audience do too. It's a hoot. Of course, with Steve Martin, it would be a hoot.
Right.
But, of course, I guess he's not an atheist, or he would know that there's a whole bunch of atheist songs out there.
Or maybe he's just messing with us.
Could be. Could be trying to get her good. Maybe he's a troll. Never know. But if you go to this, as a matter of fact, this is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour, and it's named after the website, Digital Free Thought. And if you go to digitalfreethought.com, click on the blog button, it'll take you to the main blog area, which you can then access atheist music and archived shows from this radio show.
Cool.
We've got 2 years worth of shows out there, and if you'd like to catch up, just go to digitalfreethought.com and click on the blog button. Okay, what about your topic now?
Well, I've been thinking about this, especially over the holidays, thinking about the human race, and
that's a deep subject.
It is a deep subject.
It covers a lot.
and how messed up, well, yeah, and how messed up the human race is. Yeah. Thinking about, you know, religion and a creator and a great designer. Mm-hmm. If we do have a great designer, which we don't, but if we did,
if the stories were true,
he or she or it didn't do a very good job. There's a line that's I like from the most recent Clash of the Titans movie.
What's
when
that?
Perseus was talking to his dad, he said, "For somebody who created us, you sure don't understand us very much."
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly, you know, it would appear to be the case. Watching all these stories in the news and every day, there's just something else that shows how flawed we are.
Of course that goes along with the Christian narration anyway, that we were born flawed and we're in rebellion and God is shaking his head at us every day. But I take the opposite stance personally. I think that we, of course, we have the best and the brightest in the human race. We have people who are fighting day in and day out for progress and advancement and human rights and empathy and compassion for each other. There are political systems that don't allow a lot of that to happen. And then you have all these warring religions out there that, thrown into the mix, can bring out the very worst in people when they think that they're trying to do something that would please their thousand-year-old daddy. I mean, the books at least are 1,000 years old, and some of the concepts in there, like slavery and misogyny and those old concepts, are just not working in the current environment of progress and advancement, enlightenment per se. But I think people in general are good. I mean, they want to do good. They want to thrive and advance. But they're working with a huge weight on their shoulders, all these problems that the system handles them.
You think the majority of people want the world to advance and do better?
I think they do, yeah.
Then why is everything so messed up?
Because of the warring systems that they're part of. Look at the people in India. I think the people in India are all, for the best part, good people. I think that they do their best to help each other and help themselves and advance their society. However, they're stuck in a caste system that goes back thousands of years that won't allow them to take a third of their population and even let them talk to them, have intercourse with them. I'm talking social intercourse here. Then they're in part of a political system that's interwoven with all these Western views of the world. They've been colonized and rebelled against it. It's mankind, I'm sure, the search and quest for power among men is the root of an awful lot of this. But again, on the root of an awful lot of it is religion, trying not to please each other or advance, but to glorify a deity according to the rules set down in a 2,000-year-old book, or in India's case, 3,000 or 4,000.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not real familiar with Indian culture or politics, but, I was watching a show on, I got it on, streaming on Amazon Prime. It's Who Wrote the New Testament?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the problems that I was going to talk about, the problems with the human race,
yeah,
is one problem is stupidity or
ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Ignorance at that.
What's that?
Willful ignorance at that.
It is willful. I mean, they were talking in this about, how the New Testament came to be and how it was put together.
Uh-huh.
And, there's not an original copy of the Bible, and it has been
of any of the writings in the Bible.
Well, religious scholars, uh-huh, they're researching this, and they've said that things have been changed and moved around, and the things that were copied to the Bible. You know, people got to select. You know, individuals selected. You know, what books and what letters that they were going to transcribe and copy down.
Right.
And this was all done by humans, and mm-hmm. and you know, it's just like, well, I don't agree with that, and so I'm going to write it down. And again, before the printing press, you know, everything had to be handwritten.
Right. Mm-hmm. Transcription
and,
errors and
I mean, talk
and
about
interpolations.
Right. Talk about, you know, a way to, you know, opening up you know, something that's the divine word of God. I mean, it's just crazy the way to do that. But anyway. And you talk to people about that, and you talk about all the inconsistencies in the Bible, and you talk about, you know, well, you know, it wasn't written, you know, Jesus never wrote anything down, apparently, and the disciples that were with him didn't write anything. I mean, these were stories that were handed down, mm-hmm. You know, from
generations at least, yeah, after
by word of mouth.
Yeah. One particular biblical scholar, Bart Ehrman, in his book Misquoting Jesus, he says that if you take all of the, we call them original scripts or original parchments that we have, they're not original anyway. We have none of the original parchments, and we have no idea who wrote them. We assign names to them, but we don't know who actually penned them. But there are so many of them out there, and so many of them have discrepancies between the different parchments.
Right.
He said that there are more discrepancies in the New Testament between the parchments that we have than there are words in the New Testament. So, and this is the perfect word of an omniscient God. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, it also discussed in there how you know, certain books of the Bible were obviously taken from, you know, John took something from, you know,
the other
from
books.
I guess Mark was has been credited as being the first gospel written. And again, you can tell that the other authors were taking, you know, stuff directly from what was written. I mean,
yeah, sometimes word by word.
Right. It's just, you know, it's not, you know, if you're going to, you know, hand down something like, I guess, God did with the Ten Commandments, you know, he burned it into a piece of stone, and there it is. Mm-hmm. It's got problems, but at least they're doing that.
And
but,
that's the Old
you know,
Testament.
With the Bible, it's just a bunch of books and letters mm-hmm. that are pieced together, and, you know, and also it opens up to, you know, the writing is open up to interpretation, which is something you don't want to do either. But anyway, you put this to people, you know, these firm believers, about why don't, you know, these things don't make any sense. And most of the people who firmly believe, they just don't care.
No.
And that, to me, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And the only thing I can think of is that it's, you know, it's a bit, I'd say cowardly. Because I believe it's what they're afraid of.
Well, lazy.
I don't know if it's lazy, but it's just... They're too afraid to think outside of their comfort zone, and their comfort zone is that when they die, they get to go to this paradise, mm-hmm. and they're too afraid to think of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a little scary when I first started thinking about it, but I thought, you know what? I mean, it's kind of like being, you know, afraid of, you know, the boogeyman in your bed.
And, you know, once you sit down and actually do think about it, think it out. And do some research on it. But again, you're talking about fear. You got to overcome your fear, and then you've got to actually get over your laziness to be able to go on the internet and find out about the things. It takes research. What was the section of religion that you were in? The sect, I guess I should say.
That I grew up in?
Yeah.
Catholic.
I was born Protestant or Beth into a Southern Baptist family. But we all have our backgrounds, and one of the things that most believers don't understand about us non-believers is that we've been there, we've been in the religion, and we went through the religion, and we're really not a good crowd to proselytize to. You've seen people come down to our atheist meetups and try to proselytize to us. Do you remember some of the people that have done that?
Yes.
It didn't work out too well for them. One guy came for like 2 months straight, and he was such a jerk about it that we ended up just not talking to him anymore. I mean, we would actually just sit there in silence when he started talking. Because, I mean, we've been there, we've figured it out, we've done the research, some of us have written papers and talked to other, we have what's his name, Joe, in our group, literally has a PhD in religious studies.
Yeah.
And we talk to him, and he tells us, you know, these things that have gone on in working up the Bible. You know, like, for instance, the Council of Nicaea, which was in Rome. I don't remember who was the emperor at the time. But the Christian powers that be brought their books to Rome to work up the Bible. And there were books that they included, and a lot of books that they threw out. The Gnostic Gospels they threw out. But they're still out there. You can still read them, but just nobody thinks it's the Word of God, because those people in Rome didn't include them in the text that we currently
right, Book of Mary,
revere.
Book of Thomas.
Uh-huh.
I listened to, there's a book by Elaine Pagels, I believe, about the Gnostic Gospels.
Yeah.
And I've listened to that.
Well, the very first line of Thomas's Gospel says that, or suggests that Jesus was a twin. And if he was a twin, it would be pretty easy to see how they could have worked out a resurrection scenario where one of them died and the other one took his place. But, you know, what do you do? They didn't include that book. That didn't make it to the Bible.
I haven't heard that one before.
Yeah, yeah.
That, going back to that, getting out of the tomb might be a little difficult. But again, these are, you know, I've heard religious leaders, you know, state these, that, you know, these Gospels aren't
God breathed.
Well, it's not a chronology.
Right.
I mean, what this priest described them was their faith portraits. I mean, it's this the way you're supposed to live. But a lot of the things that they're said, you know, is not really the way to live. But I don't know.
Not unless you plan to start having slaves, selling your daughters into slavery.
Is that in the New Testament?
No, that's in the Old Testament.
Yeah, well.
But even Jesus said that servants should obey their master, and we understand from interpretations that he was talking to slavery. But what do you do? He did say, and I can't remember which book it was from, maybe you remember, that if you were to come to me and be my disciple, you need to not only leave your family, but you need to hate them. You need to hate your mother and your father and your sister and your brother and yourself if you're to be my disciple. But I can't remember what book that was, but I'll try to find it.
Yeah, if you look it up, it's probably faster on my phone.
Yeah.
There's many stories in the Bible that are like that. And, you know, that's the thing, is you've got to, you know, nothing matters nearly as much as the worship of this God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I mean, it lends the fact that, I mean, how, you know, it's kind of like leaders that you see around the world today, that they've got to, you know, absolutely praise him. You know, Kim Jong-un's one that comes up. Of course, Trump likes his loyalty, and he just goes nuts when people are just all over him, and when they're just not totally into him and
right.
don't totally give themselves to him, as it were. You know, he doesn't want anything to do with them. I mean, it's just the loyalty and the loyalty and that this God demands of people.
Right.
And it's just, you know, people talk about family values, and I mean, that right there, what you talked about, is that's not family. It's leaving your family.
Yeah.
Because of this guy who is going to, you know, get you into this paradise.
Well, actually, it's cult mentality. Cult leaders want you to do that. They want to get you away from your family or anybody else that can put doubt in your head about what they're telling you. And Jesus was no different. And it was Luke 14:26, if you want to look it up. says to his disciples that we must hate our father, mother, friends, family. It's chilling just to read it, but I guess just devout followers just bleep right over it when they go through it, and, or take it as the word of God and think, maybe I really need to. But it's a cult practice.
Well, I don't think most people read the Bible. I mean, from cover to cover.
Yeah, well, I agree.
I mean, it's not a good read, for one.
It's
kind of all over the place, it's not meant to be read like a novel, mm-hmm. because it doesn't, to me,
it's a Rorschach test. You see in it what you want to see in it. It tells you more about the person reading it and interpreting it than it does about the book itself. Because you can take anything you want to out of that book. It's a book of multiple choice.
Right.
One of our members calls it.
Well, and the thought of, and it goes back to the ignorance. And again, I guess when I say ignorant, I'm not talking about people who just completely don't know anything. That they're ignorant of ideas that aren't theirs, or that they haven't had instilled in them.
Or anything that's not in the Bible.
The beginning. Well, I mean, some things that religious people believe are not in the Bible.
That's true.
But they just don't. They just refuse to question their the authority. I mean, and it's not just in religion that they do this. You know, we have proof that global warming is true. The planet's temperature is tracked. You know, we know how much dark carbon dioxide was in the air 1,000 years ago. By just drilling into the ice. Mm-hmm. And we have insurmountable proof that this is happening and that we're causing this, but people just refuse to believe. Yeah. And again, I don't think it's that they hate the planet, but if they were to accept something like that, then they might have to change. And again, it's just like, unless it's staring them right in the face, that this is happening, you know. I mean, they're not going to do anything until I guess there's a tidal wave.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem is, as the ocean rises, it just inches up and inches up every year. But unless they're staring a tidal wave in the face, they're not going to do anything about it.
Yeah,
unless they're motivated, they've got to be motivated by something other than to say, we've got to change.
Yeah. There was a meme or a story going around the internet last week four, talking about Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort.
Yeah.
He has flatly denied that global warming is happening, or that we're exacerbating it, or any of that. Will not take part of any dialogue.
Well, he pulled out of the Paris Climate.
But.
Agreement.
Mar-a-Lago has seawalls that they built around it because of the rising sea level. He's denying it on a national level, but when it concerns him and his pocketbook, he creates these seawalls to keep the water out.
Yeah. Well, he's not the only one.
No.
I don't know if you saw the movie Downsizing, but in there, it was kind of a comedy, but kind of a drama. I guess it was more of a drama than comedy, but. In there, they were trying to save the world by shrinking everybody down. And again, if you have somebody the size of a cell phone, or that's as tall as a cell phone, then you're going to produce a lot less waste.
Mm-hmm.
But also, one of the advantages of downsizing, your money, grew exponentially, because you could live in a palace that's kind of like a Barbie mm-hmm. house.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost that much to create. So the money factor, and that's the reason why people did it. Okay? It wasn't mm-hmm. to save the world, it was because they wanted to get rich.
Yeah, but if they scaled everything down, then wouldn't it cost them just as much to cut? It cost them a lot more to cut down a tree and work the tree.
Well, I understand, but you'd have more materials, mm-hmm. and you'd have obviously less waste. But not everybody was downsizing. Yeah. But the point is,
I'd have to see the movie.
They need to have. I think it's one of the streaming ones. But they need to have. People need to have a better reason to. I mean, maybe we should start paying people to recycle and. to reduce their carbon emissions. But again, for an individual, yeah. For people who are comfortable, it's just like, well, why should I bother to do recycle or bother to change my lights over? And I mean, it does save you money, but some people that if they have money, they just they're not
not concerned
about
it
anymore. Right. It's not because it's not staring them in the face.
Yeah, and those would be the biggest wasters. The people who are going through most of the resources have the biggest carbon footprint, care least about the problems that they're making for the planet.
Yeah.
Okay. It's getting close to the bottom of the hour. I guess we could take a break. This is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour, 103.9 LPFM on Wozo Radio. Live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. That's WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM, live in Knoxville. And we're going to take a little bit of a break. Let's see if we can bring up one of these atheist songs that I've been talking about. There's one here. It's one of my favorites. It's called Get Down on Your Knees, Dear Father. And we'll be back in about 5 or 6 minutes. See ya.
All dressed up like a Christmas tree, with velvet lace and gold, they took us to their sacred house, and we did what we were told. They filled up our heads with stories, and they told us that we could be saved if we sang and praised their hero. But he never showed his face. They warned us to watch out for Satan, who'd be waiting there to capture our soul. If we didn't heed all of their wishes, he would drag us all down through that hole. We'd burn and we'd scream there forever, and our cries, they would never be heard. Yes, the innocence of little children will accept the liar's word. Get down on your knees, dear Father, and beg now forgiveness for me. Show me that you're truly sorry for the person that I couldn't be. Show me some tears now of sorrow, show me a face that is real. My innocent and lonely existence was never left there for you to steal. They take away all of your childhood, they'll rob you of all of your dreams. Their cruelty, it hurts and will leave you with scars that can never be seen. And we are all left here to suffer with the heartache of struggle and strife. And our tears, they'll never dry up, they follow us on through life. Get down on your knees, dear sister, and beg now forgiveness from me for the cruelty towards all those children and the pain that you'll never see. The mothers that lost all their babies and never would see them again. The cries from their beds still remain in their heads, and slowly it drives them insane. Your gold,
You're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
And welcome back. This is Dr. Five, and we have Eric with us here in the studio. Say hi, Eric.
Hi.
We're on WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM, live right here in Knoxville, and this is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. This is January 2nd, 2019, second part of the show. I'd like to talk about the free thought groups that you can join right here in Knoxville. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, founded in 2002. We're in our 16th year. ASK now has over 875 members. Now, I think we're pretty darn close to 900 members. And you can find us online at KnoxvilleAtheist.org or just Google Knoxville Atheist and you'll find us. We also have a meetup group. If you like going to meetup, that meetup.com, you can find us there as well. Also, you can join ASK in person at our weekly meetup, which happens every Tuesday evening at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria in the Old City. You come there quite often, don't you, Eric?
Not often enough, sure.
Well, you have to travel a little bit to get down there.
There's that.
Yeah. We get together every week on Tuesday night, so come on down and join us for food, drink, and conversation. Everybody's welcome. That is, as long as you don't come to preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Thank you, Atheist Experience. By the way, if you don't live here in Knoxville, you can still go to Meetup and search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one, start one. Another free-thinking group here in Knoxville, it's been around longer than we have, is the Rationalists of East Tennessee. They've been here for about 25 years now, I understand. They have bi-weekly presentations and discussions at the Pellissippi State Campus near Hardin Valley Road. They meet the first and third Sundays at the Goins Administration Building. If that's too much to remember, just go to rationalist.org and click on upcoming events. There's a difference between the ASK and the RET meetings. ASK usually just gets together for dinner, dinner and drinks, I guess I should say, for happy hour and pizza and whatever at Barley's Tap Room. But on the RET meetings, they get together. They actually have discussions and presentations and cover a lot of interesting ideas. Usually the guests include anything from professors from UT and from Pellissippi, lawyers and researchers. It's a very edifying group. There's also the Sunday Assembly, which started in England just a few years ago, and has spread around the world. The Sunday Assembly is a no-God church setting for those who no longer believe in gods, but like the fellowship of a church-type gathering. They only meet once a month, however, in Knoxville, and that's the fourth Sunday of every month. Then, we talked about earlier in the show, we mentioned the Atheist Call-In TV show called Free Thought Forum. It's on every Wednesday night between 6:30 and 7:30 on Comcast Channel 12 or Charter Channel 192. Or you can watch it streaming online at ctvknox.org. You can also find archive of some of their shows on YouTube, where a fan has been recording and posting them. Just go to YouTube and search for three words, Free Thought Forum Knoxville. Also, if you're interested in getting involved with the TV show or the radio show, just come on down to an ASK meeting or an RET meeting and talk to us about it. You could be our next co-host or guest. And if you'd like to call into the show, we do have a phone line. You can reach us at 865-333-5937. That's in Knoxville, 333-5937. Lines are open. And you're welcome to call. So getting back to our subject, we were talking about how bad or depraved humanity is. Is that it?
The human race.
The human race. So I guess we have to go back to the beginning of that. And in the Bible, that would be Adam and Eve. You think that's...
Yes, it would.
Yeah, except, you know, we don't believe that in the stories of Adam and Eve, but if you're religious, you pretty much have to, or at least Christian, or a Catholic of some kind, or even Jewish.
Some variation of that, yes.
Yeah. So what do you think the problem was there?
Well, with Adam and Eve,
mm-hmm.
well, according to the Bible, because two people made really bad, again, was it really bad decisions? They just didn't follow their parents, you know. And anybody who has kids, anybody has kids knows that when you tell a kid not to do something, they're going to do it, okay? And they did it, and they screwed up once. And because of that, we are no longer, you know, if they hadn't done that, apparently we would have all gotten to live in this paradise, okay? Mm-hmm. But since they screwed up, the entire human race is doomed. Well, of course, we talked about this during the break when we're off the air, but you know, not the entire human race is doomed. Okay, you know, certain members of the human race are very blessed. You know, they get born into in other countries, you know, they could even be born, you know, as royalty. You know, eventually become the leader of their country just because they were born that way.
Yeah.
And, of course,
they won the born lottery, the birth lottery, as it were.
Of course, there's a flip side where people who are born into very bad conditions, or people who are born with mental illness, or people who are born with physical illness or mutations, mm-hmm. you know, that, you know, I've personally been very lucky, you know, that I haven't had, you know, major medical issues.
Yeah.
And I've got to, you know, I've been able to climb steps in my entire life. I've been able to see my entire life and hear and get to experience things. And I get to walk around and you get to enjoy it. I get to go outside and I get to experience all the things that so many people don't get to experience. You know, every time we pass by a child who's or a person who's obviously suffering from a very debilitative disease, you know, I just softly sing to the people around me, "Jesus loves me," because it's just, I mean, you look and you think, and again, I know they've got a reason. It's like, well, don't worry, because, you know, they'll get their but again, they'll be rewarded when they get to heaven. Well, what if they don't understand? What if they have a severe mental illness or a physical illness that prevents them from understanding what they're saying? Because they can't understand and appreciate Jesus, then they have to go to hell too. It just doesn't. And they usually just shrug it off. And
they'll divert it and say, you know, well, they're like children, and children go automatically to heaven because they're not old enough to understand what they need to understand.
Because somebody doesn't understand.
Yeah, something. I mean, which is a cop-out. I mean, there was one woman who took that literally to the length of what they were saying and said, oh, you mean my children would go to heaven if they died as children, and I wouldn't have to worry about them going to hell? And the preacher apparently assured her that that would be the case. So she literally killed her children, all five of them, drowned them in a bathtub, and I'll come up with the name of that in a minute.
Yeah.
But I have a real problem with the whole Adam and Eve thing anyway, because the fruit was the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, which is also right and wrong. You know, the difference, knowing the difference between doing right and doing wrong, or doing good or doing evil, which is the same thing as if they didn't know that disobedience to God was wrong until they ate the apple, then how could they have known that it was wrong to eat the apple? I mean, it would be like a child who didn't understand what they were being told when their parents told them not to do it. In other words, like telling an 8-month-old child, don't eat the cake, and then he eats the cake. You know, if he doesn't understand the difference between right and wrong, and disobedience is wrong, he wouldn't understand not to eat the cake. And the entire, and he punished, God punished the entire human race, theoretically, on this one mistake. But I've got a lot of other problems with the Garden of Eden problem thing as well.
Well, we only have 20 more minutes.
Well, one or two more things. Why did he put the tree in the garden? He could have put it on the moon. He could have put it anywhere he wanted to. But he put it in the garden and then told them not to eat it, knowing full well that they didn't know disobedience was
because
wrong.
Like his son, he demands absolute
and
obedience.
And picture this. This is an omniscient God. He knows everything.
Yeah.
But after and he's omnipresent. So where was the God who's omnipresent? Where was God when the serpent was tempting Adam and Eve? Where was he?
Larry, the problem is the people who wrote. Okay.
Well, I got one more thing.
Okay.
And after they ate the apple, they realized that they were nude and they hid in the bushes. And God comes nonchalantly walking through the garden. Where are you? Where are you hiding? Why are you not out here? I mean, the whole thing just shouts that he set a trap for mankind and sprung it on him, and then he walks through there like nothing wrong, like he just, you know, isn't this the biggest height of hilarity, you know, that he could have pushed on us, and also, but then it meant that he could punish us
for the rest of humanity. A lot of parents do that to their children. They know exactly where they are, but like, oh, I wonder where they've gone. But see, well, here's the problem. That? The Bible was written by. Yes, Andrew Yates. Yeah. The Bible was written by people, okay? It was written by humans.
Oh, I know
and
that.
People yeah. back that didn't know nearly as much as we know today, and they were just writing down these stories to get people to behave.
Right.
Okay?
Not only behave, but obey. And then, which is, I mean, not just behave well, but obey what they told them to do. In other words, you know, it's when you turn your life over to Christ, if God and Jesus are really not real, like us atheists believe, what are you actually doing when you turn your life over to Christ? Who are you turning your life over to? The preachers. You're turning your decisions, your hopes, your family, all of your income, or a lot of it, and all your dreams for the future, you're turning it over to your preacher because he says that he knows what God wants you to do. And that's exactly why the people, Islamic Muslims, flew the plane into the towers on 9/11 because they did what their religious leaders told them that's what God wanted them to do. So be very careful about the cost of your beliefs. It can cost you your life, your well-being, your family.
And Christians say that their God wouldn't tell them to do that. Well, actually, God has told Christians to murder people.
Well, their own child, Abraham. He told Abraham to kill his son as a test.
There's more recent. There's more recent than that.
Oh yeah. The Christians would be the first thing to say, you know, is, well, he didn't follow through and he stopped Abraham, but he didn't stop Jephthah. Jephthah was a Jewish general who prayed to God to give him a victory in battle, and that if he did, he would sacrifice the first thing that came out of his house when he came home from the battle. And it turned out to be his daughter, who was a teenager. And he tore his clothes and he wept, and he sent her into the mountains to celebrate her virginity for 2 months, which is the weirdest thing in the world. And then when she came back home, he sacrificed her to Yahweh, who did not stop him from doing that. That's in 2 Judges, by the way. But, yeah, there's so much immorality in the Bible that Christians would just point at and say, no, it's moral because we don't understand it. God is beyond our understanding.
Yeah,
well, why did
there is a lot
Bible?
In the Bible, but that, again, I mean, I stopped questioning why things were in the Bible. What my question is why people put so much stock into what is put into the Bible. It's not, you know, why did you know, God do this? Why did he do that? That is not a question I need an answer to anymore because, frankly, the God that they're talking about doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And can't possibly exist. I mean, given what they're saying is there's an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God, what is going on the planet today with the human race is absolutely, completely ridiculous. Okay? I mean, all you have to do is look around. I mean, geez, you know, he's supposed to be an all-loving. I mean,
Satan there. He's doing that. Satan.
Why is he allowed to do this?
Exactly. That's a very good point.
But, you know, it's not. And what about free will?
Okay. What chance do we have if we've got an all-powerful supernatural being in Satan who can do anything he wants to trick us, you know, give us visions, give us bad information, bury fossils, you know, to confuse us? What chance do we as humans have against that kind of supernatural power to be able to find the truth? But God is going to punish us.
We've got a great chance.
If we don't find the truth.
Satan doesn't exist either. We've got a great chance. But no, it's a choice question. That we make. It's the choices that
ago.
People make.
Yeah, you asked just a minute ago that, you know, why do we even worry about why? Because as atheists, we don't worry about why. Why these stories? Because we know the stories are not true. They're just stories.
We worry about the people that are accepting them.
That's right. And we want to get the people
and
who
acting,
accepting
and
them.
And acting, not and just acting accepting them, but acting on their behalf.
We want to get them to think. That's why we say why all this time. Why would God do this? Why would God do that? We want them to think. We want them to get out their critical thinking skills and work on those stories and see, like we have, that they're just they're non-starters if you use a little bit of logic on them.
Well, you know, the talk about the creator or the divine divine intelligence or what's the one they used for instead of saying a creator when they had the debate over the evolution in the
intelligent design.
Intelligent design. Okay, this is not an intelligent designer. Okay,
no.
I mean, and it's like, well, they always go say, well, he gave us free will. Why? Do you give your kids free? No, I don't give my kids free will. Yes, they get to decide certain things. Okay.
When they're old enough.
But when we're cooking, we don't let them touch the hand on the stove. Okay, we prevent them from doing that. Why? Yes, they have free will. They could do it, but we don't want them to burn their hands.
Right.
Okay, we don't allow them to. Well, I shouldn't, but you know, allow them to play with dangerous weapons. Okay, like knives or guns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when they don't understand and they can't and they could seriously hurt themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like I don't understand. I mean, yes, you can have free will, but you know, just we were talking about during the break the Isaac Asimov's rule about robots.
Uh-huh.
You know, the first rule of robots is that they cannot harm a human being or allow
through inaction the harm to come to a human being.
Right. Why isn't that a law of nature instead of just a good idea that you shouldn't hurt other people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Even in the Ten Commandments, the only admonition we have against harming each other is don't kill them. And then I guess you can do anything else you want to, except bear false witness about them. But
we can kill. I mean, people.
Oh yeah, that happens all the time.
You know, people. The proponents of capital punishment are usually quite religious,
mm-hmm.
and it says right there, do not kill. Okay, not just when it's justified. Don't kill people. Anyway, but
I did want to mention Andrea Yates' name. That was the woman that killed her 5 children in a bathtub. There's a ABC News article on that June 14th of this past year. It's called Yates, I'm Saving My Kids from Hell. And what she was doing was following to the letter what Christianity allows and keep your children from going to hell. Anyway, we certainly don't want anybody to follow her example. And as a matter of fact, I'm mentioning her because it's a bad example. But it's also what Christian dogma can lead you to.
Yeah.
Be aware.
And again, you should not be allowed to harm another human being.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there with all the problems we're having going on our planet, and most of them are caused by humans, and there should be some laws of nature, okay, if it were to be the case.
Yeah.
But since there isn't the case, since there isn't this design creator who created everything that makes sense, people have to do it themselves.
And what's funny is nature itself is often described as red in tooth and claw simply because nature, you know, animals eat each other and the predator-prey relationship. Is so pronounced throughout nature, you would think, why did God make it that way, that animals had to eat each other? You know, if he's such a perfect being. One thing I like to point out is that the people are blind when they're reading the Bible. They read it and they have these faith blinkers on that they don't see anything bad in it. But just Google one time what the Bible could have said, that phrase, what the Bible could have said, and you'll find much better versions of what could have happened, could have been in the Bible, than what actually is. I like to think that the Bible as it exists is a warlord who's trying to micromanage his people. And he actually was the war god of Jewish people back when they had multiple gods. Anyway, he's a very violent god.
But God isn't violent, Larry.
Oh, he's not?
I wish we could get past this.
One thing.
I wish we could get past this. It's just like, as long as we give credit to this, to this myth, to this crazy idea,
that
people are going to keep talking about it. It's just like people have got to realize that we're on this planet all by ourselves.
And I know, or pretty much have reasoned out that he doesn't exist. But there are people who every day tell each other that God is love.
I haven't pretty much reasoned it out, Larry. I know Bob, without a shadow of a doubt, there is no possibility that a God
exists. Knowledge word, but
what?
I said I don't like to use the knowledge word.
I do.
Okay, that's fine. But
I know
commandments are not good morality. Morals are what you can do to help your fellow man, and they need to be decided case by case. And if you're just sitting there following a set of Ten Commandments, because you're afraid of the punishment that you'll get if you don't follow them, then that's anything but morality. That's just a subjugation. It's obedience, but it's not morality.
Yes, obedience is something that doesn't exist. Yes, I agree. That's not a good thing. And, you know, it's just like, you know, I'm talking to people and my kids about, you know, something that doesn't exist, say like in a Harry Potter book or a Lord of the Rings movie, and it's just like, well, I thought a griffin was this. And it's like, you know what? A griffin can be whatever you want it to be because it's a made-up animal.
Right.
Okay, so does a griffin have an eagle's head or a lion's body or wings? And it's like, you know what? You can make it be whatever you want it to be.
Yeah, but we have to agree on a description before we can use it in conversations here. We'll be going down separate roads.
Perhaps, but, you know, if I've seen elves used many different ways. Right. An elf in Harry Potter is not the same as an elf in Lord of the Rings or in Santa's Workshop.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I can see an elf from Lord of the Rings working in Santa's.
So we do have to. I mean, it, again, you can make it be whatever you want to. So if you're talking about common ground, I don't think there's any common ground, I mean, amongst elves.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just, you know, this stuff is made up, so we have to, you know, come to reality, come to know that if we want something, if we want this world to be a better place, then we've got to do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And we have to figure it out. We have to figure that these things are not real. They're stories. Matter of fact, I made up a meme recently. It says, cool story, bro, for when somebody quotes me something out of the Bible. But I said, do you really want to turn over your whole life, your whole family and your income and your purpose to a story in a 2,000-year-old book that we have no way of verifying where the stories came from? That's an awful lot to ask, but it's asked by preachers of their flock every single day.
And it's given.
And it's given. That's right. Well, we're coming down to about the last five. Do you have any sites that you want to give out or mention or tout?
No. Well, watch who wrote the New Testament. I think it's available on Amazon Prime, but I'm sure it's – I haven't checked the other ones. It's probably on Netflix, or you can probably find – usually most of these documentaries, you can find them on you know, YouTube even, or stream them somewhere or, you know, rent them for 99
cents. So is a documentary called Who Wrote the New Testament?
Who Wrote the New Testament.
Okay. Well, very good. I would like to mention there's a book of – I mean, there's a website out there that has audio on it called Bible Stories Your Parents Never Taught You. And it's really well done. I have listened to it several times. I'm trying to remember who did it. Michael Scott Earle. And if you go to Barnes & Noble, you can find the book for about $16.95. But I get more enjoyment out of listening to them. And his audios are online. They're free. Go to reasonworks.com and type in Michael Scott Earle with the hyphens in between each word, Michael Scott Earle. And it'll take you to Bible stories your parents never taught you. And I cannot recommend them more highly. Another website, another resource?
I was just looking up that the video.
Oh, okay. One other thing, if you really wonder how a real observant and believing Christian could become an atheist, there's a series of videos that one person has put out, and I've mentioned him before on the show. I'll mention him again now. I have a little bit of time. His name is Evidence, but you have to put threes in there. It's like Evidence 3. It's EVID3NC3. And the series of videos is called Why I'm No Longer a Christian. And I've never seen anybody take so much pains and so much care and so much production values to put in a video about his deconversion as he did. And he takes you all the way from being, you know, a devout believer to just totally losing his faith because it's no longer supported. And he does it. He documents every step of the way extremely well. So that's on YouTube, Evidence 3, as it were. And, of course, if you're interested in our shows, you can go to digitalfreethought.com, click on the blog button, and then click on the podcast menu item, and you can listen to 2 years of this show if you like, digitalfreethought.com. And it's also available on Stitcher and iTunes now. Did you know that, Eric?
No.
Yeah, our podcast is available on iTunes.
Great.
Yep. And I guess that's getting down to the end. Any last words?
We need to do this ourselves.
That's right. We have to figure it out ourselves. Nobody can do it for you. Just like
nobody's going to do it for us. We've got to do it ourselves. Uh-huh. That's what I keep telling my kids. It's like you guys have got to start taking action now, because you know what? This is your planet. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm over the hill. So, you know, hey, I'm probably not going to experience what they're going to experience and what their kids are going to experience and what their kids are going to experience. Yeah. Okay? So you've got to take action, everybody.
Right. And I like
stop praying for stuff to work.
I like the way you put it. You've got to do it yourself, because nobody can convince you that religion is bad or wrong or not logical. You have to do it yourself. You have to be able to understand why. Non-belief is not a choice. Belief is not a choice. You have to figure it out yourself. You can't not believe and then make yourself believe, and vice versa. And that's about it. We're down at the wire. Say bye, I guess.
Have a good night.
Have a good night. And this is Daughter 5 saying, don't worry about going to hell. Everybody's going to somebody else's hell. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.